Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, that which was our second scripture reading. Lamentations, chapter 3, and reading verse 57. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 57. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou sayest, fear not. And our subject this morning is, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Well, we come to these words before us in the book of Lamentations. And this book, I have to admit, is not a book that we visit very often, and perhaps not a book that Christians visit very often. We are not generally inclined toward the book of Lamentations of all the books in the Bible. I think it is fair to say this is not the most popular book, and perhaps one of the reasons why that is because of the context of this book. Just to very briefly explain the context and the circumstances in which this book of Lamentations is written. It is, of course, the Lamentations of the prophet Jeremiah, and you may have at the beginning of the book that title, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And he is writing this book in the aftermath, in the days following a great national calamity. Something terrible has happened, and the thing that has happened is that Jerusalem, the beloved city of Israel, has fallen to another nation, to an invading nation, to the Babylonians to be exact, in 586, the Babylonians, 586 BC, the Babylonians besieged it, and they took the city. And they took away a great majority of the people. The great majority of the Jews went into captivity. So this is a terrible thing. There is no worse thing that could have happened to the Jews, to the kingdom of Judah. And so the prophet Jeremiah, he is in a state of lamentation. That's why he is lamenting. He is mourning. He is grieving over this great calamity. And this is why the book, of course, is called Lamentations. By the way, the very existence of this book actually teaches us something, in fact, quite comforting. The very fact that we have such a book as this, Lamentations, well, it teaches us that we can too lament before God. You know, sometimes people think that we always have to put on a brave face before God. And if we pray, we cannot bring our frustrations and our fears and our doubts. Well, this book proves otherwise. When we come to the Lord, we can bring our tears and our sighs and our frustrations and our mourning and our grieving and all our tears. We can. This is what Jeremiah does. He brings all his tears to the Lord. And this is something we can do. This is something, in fact, the Lord invites us to do. If we are aggrieved, we tell the Lord that. If we feel angry, we tell the Lord that. If we are brokenhearted, we tell the Lord that. Lord, I have a broken heart. And we can bring all these things to the Lord. So the book of Lamentations, even though it is quite downbeat, one may say, it actually comforts us in knowing that we too can bring all our fears and all our griefs to the Lord. We are always honest with him. And the Lord, well, we read even in this book that when we do that, the Lord comforts us and consoles us. We have great words of comfort and consolation even in this chapter. You may not know it, but some of the most famous words in the entire Bible are in this chapter, in chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations, in verse 22, for example. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Well, of course, we sing these words very often, but when we sing them, perhaps we don't realize they are actually from this book, from the book of Lamentations. Great is thy faithfulness. And again, it speaks to us, speaks comfort to us, that even when we bring our lamentations to the Lord, he is great in his faithfulness, and he can turn our weeping into wonderful joy. But that's not my verse I'm looking at this morning. I'm looking at verse 57, and these words, "Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou sayest, fear not." Now, of course, there are those of you who are regular here at East Dulwich who will have heard me say a million times, and I will say it a million times more, that the most often repeated phrase in the Bible is "fear not," or variations on "fear not." "Do not be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled." There used to be a saying, although this is not correct, there used to be a popular saying that the Bible repeats this phrase 365 times. That it's repeated, "fear not, do not be afraid," 365 times. And so therefore, there is a "fear not" for every day of the year, 365 days in the year. And 365 times we read, "fear not." It's a lovely thought. It's not entirely true, sadly. It's not repeated as many times as that. You can go through and count it if you want. But nevertheless, the Bible is a book that removes fear. It calls us, it invites us not to be troubled, not to be anxious, not to be afraid. And it sits in direct opposition, of course, to the world around us. We live in a world that directly causes us to feel anxious or to feel stressed, this world in which we live. And so many do feel anxious. This is one of the great characteristics of the modern age, particularly in this country. The great characteristic of all those who live in this age, we are so anxious, we are so stressed, we are so afraid, fearful in this world of so many things. But the Bible repeatedly instructs us, fear not. And so, of course, this is one of the reasons why we call people, all people everywhere, to come to the Lord, to read the word of God. Do not be afraid. But of course, this is the great irony, isn't it? That so many people, they're so afraid and they suffer and they're fearful of many things, and yet they seem to be afraid even of drawing near to the Lord. They seem to be afraid of reading the word of God, which would actually take away all their fears. It's a great tragedy. It's a great irony. People are so afraid in this world, but they won't come to the Bible. They won't come to God, who will take away all their fears. It's a foolishness. It's an irony. But, well, this is my message. If there's anybody here afraid of the Lord, afraid of the Christian faith, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to come to him. Do not be afraid of anything that the Bible says that you will hear this morning. Don't be afraid of it. Rather, believe the things that you hear this morning and embrace the things that you hear and love them, because they will lead to the end of all of your fears. That is the message of the Bible. But the question I posed at the very beginning, the title of this message is, what are you afraid of? And what I propose to do just in the remainder of the time that we have, this brief time this morning, is to present you with a number of fears that are very common to us all, common to man, to the natural man, and then explain to you how the Lord removes every single one of them. So the first fear that we all have that is common in this world, common to man, the first fear I'm going to mention is the fear of going without. The fear of going without. This is a common fear, a daily fear for a great many people. To go without. Do you not have that fear every day in which we live? I hope I don't go without. Going without the things I need, without food, without clothing. It would be a fearful thing if I didn't have the resources, the money to pay my bills, I would have to go without. That is a great fear that we have, a daily fear that we have, each and every one of us. We fear hunger. We fear thirst. We fear not having any money, an empty bank account. We fear not possessing what we need to live. This is a great fear in each and every one of us, the fear of going without. But the Lord takes away that fear. When you walk with the Lord, when you trust in Him, well, every Christian can tell you this, the Lord provides. The Lord provides for us. In fact, that is one of His titles. That's one of His names. You will know this in the book of Genesis, Jehovah Jireh, the patriarch Abraham. He actually named a place Jehovah Jireh to reflect God and God's provision. The Lord will provide. This is one of the wonderful things, the many wonderful things about the Lord. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Why do we pray that? Because we know that He will. He will give us every day those things that we need. Who else is going to give it to us? We look to the Lord. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and we trust that He will. He is faithful, as we have just read in Psalm 37, for example. The psalmist writes, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, the Lord provides. And the Lord knows what we need. He knows what we need. Even before we ask Him, He can provide all our needs, and everything in this world ultimately belongs to Him. He is sovereign. All the resources in this world, all the food in the world, even all the money in the world, you know, all these things are in God's hands. They're not in the hands of people. They are in God's hands. It is God who rules over all things. And so when we pray to Him for the things that we need, He can and He will provide. No good thing will He withhold from them that trust in Him. And He'll give us even more than we expected. By the way, don't get the wrong idea. I'm not preaching a prosperity message. I'm not saying God will make you rich. I'm saying you will not go without. There's a distinction there. It means that God will give you all you need, not all that you want. All that you need, the Lord will provide. But if you don't know the Lord, well, you really do go without. And again, I say this many times, the most important part of you goes without is your soul. Your soul goes without. Well, you may have many material things. You may have much money. You may have many possessions and so on, home, car, business. But dear friends, what about your soul? What about the needs of your soul? Your soul is going hungry and thirsty. Your soul is impoverished without the Lord. You are going without. If you don't know the Lord in your life, you are going without. And it's the greatest part of you that is suffering. You have no spiritual life. You have no relationship with God, which your soul is crying out for that. But you're going without. You don't know that great joy and that peace that comes with believing, that every Christian knows joy and peace in believing. You are going without if you don't know the Lord. And so, dear friends, this is what you are missing out on. And this is why we declare you must come to the Lord. If you have a fear of going without, go to the Lord. The Lord will provide for you. So that's the first fear. The second fear that is common to man, and perhaps is felt by many of us even in this place, the second fear that we have is the fear of not being accepted. The fear of not being accepted. Again, this is very common. The fear of not being accepted or rejected by our friends or our peer group or even by family members. This is a great fear. It controls us. In fact, I mention this often. This is a fear that keeps many people from the Lord It keeps many people from God. If I become a Christian, my friends, my peers, they won't like me anymore. They will reject me. And I'm so scared of that. I will not come to God. It's a fear that controls you. You would like, perhaps, in some way to come to the Lord, but it's what your friends think. And you're fearful that you will not be accepted by them. It is a great fear. I have to be accepted by all those around me. And you know, people will do anything to be accepted by their peer group, by their friends. They will even do immoral things. They will do things that are not right just to be accepted. Well, as youngsters, we all know this. It's particularly prevalent in school and amongst teenagers. If you want to be in the cool group, you have to do things that are immoral. You have to break the rules. Then you'll be accepted. And you know, it doesn't really change the older we get. We see people in this society. People are doing immoral things to be accepted by society and supporting immoral things to be accepted by society and believing in immoral things just to be accepted. This is the great fear that so many people have. I have to go along with this thing and that thing and support this cause and that cause because I want to be accepted. I don't want to be rejected. But dear friends, this is such a great tragedy. It is such a tragedy that so few people ask themselves, rather than am I accepted by my friends, am I accepted by God? Am I right with God? What does God think of me? Not what do my friends think of me. What does the Lord think of me? You know, again, in the scriptures, we read that it is God who is our judge. It's only God. Only God can judge you. Only God can judge us. Nobody else, whoever they are, your friends, your family, they cannot judge you. They are not qualified to judge you. Why are they not qualified to judge you? Because they themselves do things that are wrong. That is why men in the Bible, according to the Bible, that is why men are not qualified to judge you, because they themselves are not perfect. They are sinners. We are all sinners. That's what the Bible says. Each and every one of us, we are sinners. For a sinner to judge another sinner, that is hypocrisy. So it cannot be done. It's only the holy God. It's only God. Only God is holy. Only God is clean, is pure, without fault, without blemish. Only he can judge you. And he will one day. One who is perfect and righteous, he will one day. And so this has to be your chief concern. Am I right with God? What does God think of me? Will God accept me? That needs to be your chief priority in this world. If you are, well, then there is nothing to fear. You will not fear that day when you stand before God in judgment. But if you're not, well, then that fear remains. That fear is upon you. Dear friends, the fear of acceptance. We have to think about our acceptance with the Lord. That ought to be the greatest fear that we have. But dear friends, let me move on to my third fear that is common to man, and it's quite closely linked to the second fear, the fear of acceptance. But then we have a fear of separation. A fear of separation. Now, again, this is a fear that begins even as youngsters. I used to work, although many people doubt this. Believe it or not, I used to work on a parenting magazine as a sub-editor. And I always remember this one article, very interesting, of how children experience separation anxiety. Separation anxiety, if a child is away from their parent for any meaningful amount of time, or even only for a short time, they can experience separation anxiety. They get anxious, they get fearful because they are separated from their parents. And you know, again, in a sense, this fear never leaves us. We fear, don't we, even as adults, we fear being separated from the ones that we love, from the ones that are dearest to us. That is a great fear in our lives. And ultimately, this connects us to another fear, which is the fear of death, because this is one of the ways in which death can be defined. Death is a great separation. Death separates us from one another. It separates husbands from wives, brothers from sisters, parents from children. This really is the great sting of death. It's a separation. We are separated from one another. And this is why death is so difficult and so painful. But this is what the Bible teaches us, which is very important, that if we die without the Lord, without knowing the Lord, well, then you face the greatest separation of all. You face separation from God, an eternal separation from God. Now, I realize that for some people in this atheistic world, very foolishly, they may say to you, well, that's a good thing. Wonderful. I will finally rid myself of God forever, and I can be in a place I can have a good time with all my friends, with all my other atheistic and unbelieving friends. That is not the case. If there is anybody here thinking that, or anybody listening or watching thinking that, that is not the case. That's not the reality. When we end up in hell, or if you have that eternal destiny in hell, well, you may well see your friends there, your other unbelieving friends, but there is no fun to be had there. There is no happiness there. The only thought in your mind will be that you are separated from God. That will fill your thinking. You are separated from your Creator, from your Maker. You are separated from light. God is everlasting light. That's what we read in the Bible. You will be in everlasting darkness. That will be in your thinking. It won't be fun there. You are separated from life. God is everlasting life. We know that in the scriptures. You are suffering everlasting death, a conscious death. Dear friends, this is no laughing matter. This is no fun matter at all. And I say these things to compel you to come to the Lord, dear friends. You must come to the Lord. Don't die in your sins. You see, this is what separates us from God. Our sins separate us from God. God is holy. God is on one side. We are on another. It is our sin that separates us. You need to have your sin removed in this life before you enter into eternity. And there is only one who has removed your sin. It's Christ. He has removed that sin. How has he removed that sin? He has paid the price for your sin. That's what he's done. He took the punishment for your sin. That's how he removed your sin. There is a great weight of sin that you have done, but he has paid the price for it. And so it's gone. The debt is paid. He's paid the punishment. It's gone. It's removed. And so now you can be reconciled to God. There is nothing to separate you. You can be reconciled to the Lord. It's the only way. There is no other who has made full atonement for our sins. It's only through Christ on the cross. That's where he paid the price. That's where he took the punishment. And that is what we point to. Trust in him. Know that he died to take the punishment for your sin. We have all sinned. But Christ has died that we may have that forgiveness and be reconciled to God. The only way. It's the only way to be reconciled to God. And I sometimes say this, not very often, but dear friends, this is why we urge people, if you are saved, you have to share the gospel with others, with your loved ones. If you really do love those around you, you have to share the gospel with them. I remember one time after we had a young people's residential a few years ago now, one of the girls, the young girls, loved it so much that at the very end she said, I wish we didn't have to part ways. I wish we didn't have to go home. Isn't there a way we can be all together all the time. And I said, well, you have to trust in the Lord. You know, the only way you can be together with your loved ones is if you are all in Christ. Then there will be no separation, no separation at death. If somebody dies before you, you know you will go to be with them at the very end. You will see them again because you are both in Christ. No separation at all. And so, dear friends, we don't just say, you must be saved. You must tell others how they can be saved. If you never want to be separated from them, you must be in Christ, the incarnate God who has died for the sins of all those who believe in him. Then your fear will be dispelled. The fear of never seeing your loved ones will be gone because you are all safe and secure in Christ. Dear friends, I must move to the final heading. And this is a very common fear. The fear that we all have of never being loved. Never being loved. We all want to be loved. And we all have a fear of being unloved. Everybody in this modern age is looking for love, looking for that special relationship, somebody to fall in love with. We have a fear, don't we, of never finding somebody to love us. And then if we do find love, well, then there's another fear. You spend your much time looking for someone to love, you find someone, then there's another fear. Will this love last? What if this person who I love, what if they leave me? What if they betray me? What if they abandon me? That's another fear. If only you could find an everlasting love. If only you could find a perfect love that casts out all fear. Well, you can. But that is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we ought to know this. When you come to the Lord, it's more than just religion. It's more than just attending church. You enter into a relationship of love, perfect love with the Lord. And again, this is what every Christian knows. When Christ went to the cross, why? Why did he go? Because he loved us. He loved us. Even despite all my sins, even though he knew all the things that I'd done wrong, even though he knew all the hidden secrets of my heart, even though God knows all the reasons why I don't deserve to be loved, he loves me still. That is the perfect love of Christ that casts out all fear. Because when Christ sets his love upon you, he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. It is that eternal, everlasting love. And so that fear of never being loved is cast out only when you know the Lord. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, he has written in his word. And so that greatest fear is taken away from us. Dear friends, why would you not come to the Lord? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the God who is love. What are you afraid of? What on earth can you be afraid of? There's so much to be afraid of in the world. There's nothing to be afraid of when it comes to the Lord. These words, well, I've neglected them the whole message, but verse 57, thou drawest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou sayest, fear not. Dear friends, if you call upon the Lord, don't be fearful that he will reject you. Look at those words. I called upon thee, and God answered him and said, fear not, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter how late you've left it, don't be afraid, I will receive you. That's what the Lord says. You don't have to fear rejection. There's nothing to be afraid of. Come to the Lord, he will receive you. Call upon him, pray to him personally and sincerely. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, says the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Dear friends, these are my final words to you. You must come to the Lord. Don't fear that rejection. He's calling to you even now. He wouldn't call to you to reject you. Of course not. He's calling to you so that you may know him and know his love forevermore. There is nothing to be afraid of. Hear these words of the prophet Jeremiah. Thou drawest near in the day that I called upon thee. May this be the day that you call upon him. And may this be the day when all fear is banished. May the Lord bless these words to you.